Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hour number two, Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, 615-737-1025. That's our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nick Frazier along for the ride as well. Appreciate Junie for hanging out for an hour with us. Great job by him. Titans back on the practice field right now, and I was just looking through Teron Davenport's Twitter feed as he's had some videos of some of the receivers, and I'm just ready to see this in preseason games. I mean, Reggie Robertson, is it Robertson or Roberson? Reggie.
I think it's Roberson. Yeah, I heard Reggie people say Roberson. Roberson. It could be Roberson.
Reggie Roberson, that's what I'm going to go with right now. I've been very impressed with him, and I have him very much in contention to make this team. So he's looked good. Traylon Burks obviously looking good. No sign today of D-Hop, Alize Mack, or Naquan Jones during team stretch, according to TD. Mike Vrabel had said he's looking forward to having a different viewpoint on the game, not being the head coach. His focus will be on the operation and how new head coaches like Tim Kelly, Chris Harris are on the headset, that according to TD. Mike Vrabel said that – so I guess Vrabel's already talked. Vrabel said that the Titans will play some of the starters in Saturday's preseason game against the Bears. Vrabel did not say who will start at quarterback. So that's interesting. So could we see Tannehill? I mean, do we think that's going to happen?
I would say no. I mean, why would you risk it? I mean, I get it. A lot of the starters, they go out first, second series, whatever it may be. And I'm sure the opposing team understands that, you know, we're all out here to get some sort of look. And I heard earlier this morning on Robbie and Rex Road, Jack Gibbons, who joined them mm-hmm. as their guest, he made sure to say that, you know, teams are just out there to get looks. They're out there to just make sure that they can get their feet wet with the installs. They're not really out there showing too much. Yeah. And so, like, with that being said, I wouldn't expect to see Tannehill out there. Now, I would like to see Malik Willis start. That would probably be my preference.
Yeah, I'd probably go Willis, too, if you're not going to start Tannehill. But like I said earlier, I mean, if they start Tannehill and they give him a couple series, I wouldn't hate that. I don't think that's the end of the world. But it won't be Mike Vrabel acting as the head coach. As we mentioned, and we've talked about this a lot this week, he will have a different perspective. He's going to let Terrell Williams, who's the assistant head coach, let him be the head coach this week. And I thought he gave a really good answer when Jared asked the question on Tuesday, because, I mean, one thing that has been talked about around the league in a positive way, the league has noticed, is, you know, is Vrabel giving a minority coach an opportunity to get noticed to potentially get a head coaching job? Here was the question and answer from Jared and Vrabel.
Mike, there was a lot of talk yesterday after you said that Coach T was going to be coaching on Saturday about the opportunity that it gives a minority potential head coach to show the league and the owners who make those decisions what somebody could do. Was that part of your thought process? And as a coach, do you think about how actions like this can help minority coaching candidates get head coaching jobs?
One thing I can't, you know, concern myself with is what, you know, other people think or say. My intent was to do what was best for T in this situation. It wasn't to send any sort of message. This wasn't anything. You know, I did what I thought was best for him and for us at this particular time. That's what I wanted to do, and it's well deserved. It's earned. It's you know. And again, even like today, we had him go through this, talk to the officials about, you know, the officials meeting that happens 90 minutes before the game, and you know. I didn't know what the hell to do the first time we met with the officials. They asked for the punt card. I'm like, well, where the hell is the punt card? I mean, something little as that. And just, you know, just making sure that we give application to things that we're trying to coach and to teach and develop each one of our coaches and players here.
That was Mike Vrabel on some of his thought process with Terrell Williams being the head coach. And, you know, I agree with him that you can't worry about what everybody else thinks. But at the same time, I do think that he is, you know, loyal to the coaching brotherhood and wants, you know, his assistants to get a fair opportunity. And, you know, so many times we look at the coordinators and those are the ones that are in the spotlight and those are the ones that, you know, end up getting head coaching jobs, not the defensive line coach. And so, you know, he's been a coach for a long time. And so Mike Vrabel's putting him in a position to get noticed and to succeed and to, you know, get those reps. And like he said, you know, there were things that he didn't know the first time that he coached. And later on in the press conference, he was asked, you know, do you remember your first game? And he laughed and he said, well, the first regular season game was the 8-hour one in Miami. There was a, you know, huge weather delay, but he doesn't remember. He was like, I couldn't tell you my first preseason game. Yeah, you know, I don't remember that at all. And so I think he's looking at his own experiences and applying that to this. And yes, there is another aspect of this that, you know, Terrell Williams is a black coach, and you know, that certainly has been something that's been discussed a lot, that, you know, is the Rooney Rule working the way that it's supposed to, you know, that getting more opportunities for minority coaches, and that's obviously something that we all want to see. But I think in Vrabel's eyes, he's just looking at it as, this is a good coach that has earned an opportunity. I've made him my assistant head coach this year, and I want him to get reps. It's just like Malik Willis or Will Levis getting reps at quarterback in the preseason. And the other part that I think gets lost in this is the fact that Vrabel is going to get a different perspective and can work with some of his other assistants throughout the game and just kind of be more of an advisor than having to worry about quote-unquote calling the game.
Yeah, and I'm also curious too, not even from Vrabel's standpoint, but from a quarterback standpoint as well, because I don't know if you watched the new Hard Knocks, but Aaron Rodgers.
I got to catch up. Okay. I'm going to do that tonight.
It's all good. I'm not spoiling anything, but Aaron Rodgers in the Hall of Fame game was wearing the headset and kind of talking with the quarterback, Zach Wilson, and so forth. I'm curious to see if Tannehill will do something like that as well. And it kind of takes the pressure off Mike Vrabel as well, so he can actually assess different aspects of the game that he normally doesn't get to see, like you're alluding to now. So I would love to see something like that be taking place in this upcoming Saturday's matchup versus the Bears. But I guess we'll have to see. Honestly, going to the Terrell Williams situation here, Chase, do you think this kind of opens the door to a trickle-down effect to other teams to do this in 100%, the preseason?
100%. I think you will see – I don't know if you'll see it this year, but because the first preseason game makes the most sense to do something like this. Because next week you're going to have joint practices in Minnesota, then you're going to have joint practices against the Patriots, and you're going to be doing a little more evaluation. So I'd rather see them do it in the first preseason game than I would in the second or the third. But yes, I think other teams around the league are taking notice of this, and I think you're going to see it happen more. I think it's a positive thing. And I hope that you see more of it. And look, not just, I mean, I you know, I've said it's got to get better with minority coaches, but if there's somebody on your staff, you know, that, I mean, even I think we're seeing this with more women in the league as assistant coaches. And I heard Teresa Walker reference this morning, Becky Hammon, you know, being an assistant for Greg Popovich for so long, she coached in the summer league. And, you know, yes, she's in the WNBA now as a head coach, but that got her a lot of notoriety. And I still think that Becky Hammon could become the first female head coach in the NBA. I just think it, you know, Pop is not showing any signs of stepping down anytime soon. So it was an opportunity for her to go be a head coach in the WNBA. So I think this opens the door for a lot of good things. And so, yeah, that's the long way of answering your question, that I do think you're going to see more of this in years to come because it's a great idea. And the NBA has done it, you know, with Summer League and things like that. I reference the Predators a few years ago, Peter Laviolette. And I think it was more of a get a different perspective, but you know, he wasn't the head coach necessarily during a game because he was watching from the booth. So you've seen other sports do things similar to this, but I'm curious, like in baseball, do you see, you know, some bench coaches that are aspiring to be managers? Do they get to manage a game? And because it's a completely different seat.
I will say, speaking of baseball briefly, Skip Schumacher was with the Cardinals last year as a bench coach and now is with the Miami Marlins as their manager of the team. And he's done quite well for the Marlins this year. So I obviously talking about, you know, having that little bit of taste of having that hierarchy role in the coaching staff, I do believe it is on the up and up for just any sport in North America or across the world in general.
Coming up next, continue the discussion with the Titans and whether they have something to prove. You know how I feel about having a chip on your shoulder. I am all about it. We'll discuss that next. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Going to have your chance to win tickets to see All Elite Wrestling, AEW, coming up. Bridgestone Arena next Wednesday, August 16th. Dynamite and Rampage. Really looking forward to that. Should be a fun show. Chris Jericho will be there. Sting. Some names. MJF that you've heard. So be listening for your chance to win that. And also we'll talk to D-Mace from training camp here in a few minutes. I know it's a little rainy out there, so they might be heading this way. But we will check in with D-Mace, get his thoughts on everything going on. Also, we are your racing station, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Saturday at 4 for the Pennzoil 150 and on Sunday at 12:30 for the Verizon 200 at the Brickyard, Indianapolis Motor Speedway. NASCAR on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game is presented by O'Charley's. Talking some Titans with you, 615-737-1025. You can call or text our phone line, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chip on their shoulder. Do the Titans have something to prove? I'm going to say absolutely they do. Now, I've always kind of had this motto with that I'm not worried about proving you wrong. I'm worried about proving me right. And that's been my whole motto in my career. You know, is I've had to work hard to get to where I am. A lot of people out there listening have gone through the same thing in whatever field you're in. And I've always adopted the phrase of prove yourself right. And so with the Titans, I think there's a lot of belief in that organization that they are going to be a lot better than people think they're going to be. Rand Carthon, their GM, was on the SiriusXM tour on NFL radio talking about this, but I thought his comments were very interesting about who he brought up.
Every day, everybody here has something to prove. You know, and again, it goes back to what I said about, you know, the draft picks and the free agents that we signed. And you look at three of our leaders, you know, you look at Ryan. Everybody was trying to cash Ryan off in the offseason, you know, making my life hard, you know, whether we were keeping him or not keeping him.
You were keeping Ryan Tannehill. You said that from the start.
But, you know, Ryan has something to prove to the people. You know, the current market of running backs and what they should or, you know, are not making. Derek has something to prove. You know, we had our talks with KB, you know, in the offseason about a pay cut, if you will. So KB has something to prove. You know what I mean? And even Jeff getting his extension, you know, traditionally people say that guys get paid, they get comfortable and they don't play the same. So Jeff's got something to prove. So everybody on this team has something to prove, you know, to show the world that they are who they are and that they can still play at a high level in this league.
But how are they looking at it? Are they looking at it that they're proving, yeah, look, I'm worth this? And I feel like with somebody like Kevin Byard, that is the thing. And there's been this whole thing of the offseason of pay cuts, and you know, he ultimately took one. I mean, Carthon basically just admitted it there, even though it was a restructure of the contract, he can still get some of that money back with incentives. Whether it was true that he did it because of DeAndre Hopkins or not, who knows? Now he's going to look at it as, okay, watch this. This is why I was making that kind of money. This is why I deserve to make that kind of money, because of who I am as a player and who I am as a person for this team. He's going to prove that. Ryan Tannehill is a great example. of nobody's forgiven him, or a lot of people haven't forgiven him, for the three interceptions against Cincinnati when they were the one seed. Cincinnati goes to the Super Bowl. A lot of people aren't over that. And he's, you know, he in his mind is like, okay, I got to go out there and show you that I can do this, that I can win in this league. And he does have to do it, because that's what makes him so polarizing, is he's been solid in the regular season. But if you're playing in mid-January, you know, what is he? You know, can he win the big one in the playoffs? And he hasn't really proven that he can to this point. When they went to the AFC Championship game, yes, he was an integral part of that, but it was Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry was the guy carrying the load and ultimately got them to that point. When everything went on Tannehill's shoulders to go into Arrowhead Stadium and win a game, he couldn't do it. And then the next year, it was the same thing in Baltimore. And then the next year, it was three interceptions against Cincinnati. He's got to prove it in the postseason. And you can make every excuse in the book. Injuries the last 2 years, a factor. Obviously, he was hurt last year, and they ended up missing the playoffs. But that's where he's got that chip on his shoulder, and he's got to prove something. And then Derrick Henry, running back. You know, I thought it was interesting that Rand Carthon brought up that running back market. You know, Derrick Henry's fighting for himself, but he's also fighting for the future of the position. And I do believe that Derek looks at it that way. I think there are other running backs that are, you know, worrying about themselves, and I get it, and they should to an extent. Derek's looking at it not only for himself, but the guys that are going to come after him in the future at that position and what they're worth. So you combine all those things together, and on defense, you know, Jeffrey Simmons proven yet, like, I deserve the bag I got. I'm hungry. I was hurt last year, pissed off for greatness. Watch out. This is going to happen. Christian Fulton's another one. We've talked about Christian Fulton till we're blue in the face, and he even talked about that on having something to prove.
Yeah, definitely. I'm coming into every season, you know, with something to prove, but definitely this year, besides, I mean, not really worried about contract talk, but just as a corner, you know, I feel like I am one of those top guys in this league. And, I mean, I got to go out there and show it week to week. Obviously, I know that, but I feel like my talent is there, and I feel like I can go with the best of them. You know, whenever I went up against one of those top receivers in the league, you know, I pretty much held my own since I've been in the league, but it's just about doing it consistently.
Yeah, and look, you got to prove it. He's got to prove it. He's got to play in 17 games or at least 16. You know, they may rest the starters depending on how things are, but he's got to play a full season. He hadn't done that. So prove to me that you can do that, that you can stay healthy. And I have paid attention to his comments that he made when he was on Caroline Willie and D-Mace a few weeks ago, saying that this is the first time he's coming to camp and he's been healthy and he hadn't been rehabbing something. That's big that he can sit there and he can say that. He's had a really good camp. I want him to stay healthy, and I want him to prove it. Because you're right, he does have talent. I loved him out of LSU. I mean, when we did our mock drafts, I had him at the end of the first round coming here, and he ended up dropping to the second. But I think he's got all the talent in the world. It's just, can he stay healthy, and then can he put it together? Can he make those big plays in the games when it counts against some of these top wide receivers in this league?
Minus Jeffrey Simmons and the Rand Carthon clip there, Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Christian Fulton. He said all these guys have something to prove. Now, you've heard the prove it deal phrase.
Sure.
Does this mean, like, if they do end up going to the playoffs and going deep, do they all get 1 year extensions to a certain degree? Is that the prove it deal that he's kind of alluding to?
I think that's easier said than done. I mean, Simmons is obviously locked up. I don't think they pay Fulton. I don't see that happening unless he just really balls out. But then, you know, can you afford him? Because then there's a trickle down effect, because Kevin Byard's another one of those guys. You know, Kevin Byard is still under contract for next year. Now, everybody kind of thinks they're going to cut him. And that this is probably the last ride for him. But what if he has a really good year? Then you got to choose between them. You know, who's more important to you, Byard or Fulton? For me, it would still be Byard, even though he's older. So you got to look at it that way. Derrick Henry. Well, how much the market dictates how much a running back is going to get. I don't see the market changing all that much in the course of, you know, a few months and one season. So, you know, what is Derrick going to want? How are they going to view that? Are they going to view, what are they going to view as a fair deal for both sides? And then the same thing with Tannehill. What's different with Tannehill is it's not all contingent on what Tannehill does. It's what's happening behind him. If they come out of this preseason and they go into practice in the regular season and they feel that Will Levis and Malik Willis are making proper progress, that they can fight for the starting job, then they move on from Tannehill no matter what he does. I mean, if he wins a Super Bowl, maybe that's different, but you know, I think it's going to have to take a lot for them to do that, and I think they're capable of it. I mean, I've said that I think right now that Tannehill's in play to be re-signed, but a lot of things have to happen. So, and if I'm them, if I'm the player, you know, I'm wanting more than a one-year deal. I mean, that's just looking out for yourself. So, we just kind of have to wait and see on that. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace are headed back here as a little wet at St. Thomas Sports Park. So, obviously, with our equipment, worried about that. So, they're going to be here. We will talk to Derrick next, if he's here, or we'll call him. We'll do that, get his thoughts on practice and things to this point. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hope you're having a great start to your Thursday. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball today, 4:50 pregame, a doubleheader on 94.9 The Fan. Last night's game got postponed, so they will play 2 7-inning games today as they take on the Indianapolis Indians, AAA affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. So check that out coming up today. D-Mace is on his way here, so he's going to jump in studio with me when he gets here. We'll talk about Titans practice and stuff with him. Get out of the summer heat and join us for craft brews, food, games, and entertainment at the 2023 Nashville Predators Craft Beer Festival. The fun begins tomorrow night from 6:30 to 10 at Bridgestone Arena. Proceeds benefit the Preds Foundation, which supports Middle Tennessee nonprofit groups and programs in the community. Looking forward to that one. Always a fun event. We will give away these AEW tickets here in just a few minutes. You heard the commercial there, so we will do that in a few minutes for the wrestling fans that are out there. But, you know, Mike Vrabel said that some starters are going to play in the preseason opener against Chicago, but he did not specify who. Now, Teron Davenport just tweeted out DeAndre Hopkins just came out as now in for the Titans as they start another team period, so that's good. The kicking battle today, Caleb Shudak and Trey Wolf were both good from 26, 38, 33, and 44. So that's good. I want to see how they are from 47, 48, 49, 50, 51. I mean, you got to make those big kicks. But that from Teron Davenport.
I will say, with the weather being very, you know, wonky today, kicking in this wet weather on grass is not too easy. I know they have a little bit of a block from time to time, but especially in the NFL with those balls in the leather, they soak up water. Yeah. So when you kick the ball, it's almost like, I don't want to say cinder block, but it's a little bit more heavy. So you got to put a little bit more leg strength into it.
So when I was in high school and was the team manager, we played a game at Fairview one time that it was just a torrential downpour. And coach told me, you have one job tonight, and that's keep the footballs as dry as you possibly can. Which, I mean, look, you're not going to do. But I had a big tub that I put the K-balls in. And, like, they stayed in there until I pulled them out and threw it to the ref. And, like, coach was even yelling at the ref to be faster because I threw him a great, you know, the underhand throw, you know, that you do for
the refs. Solid spiral.
I threw it right to him and he dropped it. And coach, like, just went nuts because that wasn't my fault. But I had a big rain jacket that I had to keep him under. There was one time we were at home and it was raining just as bad. And at halftime, I just threw a bunch in a bag and I ran down to the laundry room and threw them in the dryer for like just a little bit, you know, took some air out of them, put them in the dryer. I mean, all sorts of things to try and keep them. So you're right. I mean, because it changes things completely with a wet football. But I mean, you're going to have to play in those conditions. So why not practice in them?
That's a good test for the Shudak and the boys today to have something challenging like that.
Wolf has looked good too. I think Shudak's going to win the job because he's been here. But I will say now whether that – again, I got to see him in pressure situations. Like – I know that the plan has been discussed that if there's a 53-yarder that could be kicked on Saturday, I want to see them kick that 53-yarder to see what he's got, especially if you're dealing with wind in Chicago. Like, I'd like to see, you know, how they act and how they are in some of those conditions. But here was Mike Vrabel when asked what goes into the decision to play someone in the preseason or not.
What kind of goes into the decision on who plays, maybe who doesn't in the preseason?
Seeing where guys are health-wise, seeing where guys are with the work they've gotten out here, trying for, you know, allow me to identify the work that they've gotten in and then say, okay, well, this is what we haven't gotten in. Let's get this player some more work in this particular situation.
So that was Mike Vrabel, not adding a too much to that, but did say earlier, Tron Davenport put it on his Twitter account that some starters will play. I'll be curious of who. And, you know, if they decide to give there's a video that's out there of Vrabel. He kind of did a scrum with reporters before practice. He said the decision has been made at quarterback against the Bears, but he's not going to tell us.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that.
I think it's Malik Willis.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Now, going into this preseason game, I don't want to switch subjects pretty brief, but just make it a quick little topic. Going into this, obviously Mike Vrabel's not the head coach for this game. But you have to think in grand scheme of things, him and Terrell met before in practice and have some sort of game plan, right? I mean, it's a must.
Sure.
Or does Terrell have his own game plan?
No, I mean, he's going to run Vrabel's game plan. Like, make no question about it. Mike Vrabel's the head coach. And the only thing that Terrell Williams is doing is he's going to be the in-game head coach. But Mike Vrabel is ultimately the decision maker. He's going to decide who's going to play, who's going to start, how long they're going to play, et cetera, et cetera. And then let Williams call the game. Little news out of college football. Dennis Dodd just putting this out. Sources, Cal Stanford to the ACC looks unlikely at this time. He also says, remember where we were a week ago at this moment. Conclusion, stay tuned. So, well, that is interesting. That looks like it may not be happening as of now, but as we know, anything changes minute by minute in anything, in life. So, but that coming out from Dennis Dodd, very interesting there. That doesn't look like Stanford and Cal will join the ACC at this time.
Is that the Big 12 knocking at the back door over there, Chase?
Could be. I mean, who knows? I mean, is it the Pac-4 saying, hey, we're going to survive
the Wolf Pack?
Yeah. I mean, we're going to add, you know, random teams and be the Pac-8 again, but I don't see it. So something to pay attention to, but back into the Titans. So this is, I mean, like, why be secretive right now? Like, who cares? Like, if you've already decided, does that mean he hadn't told the player?
Maybe Vrabel's just practicing his, like, incognito game plan for midseason form. You never know.
I guess. I don't know. I think it's Malik Willis. I think that's who's going to start. I hope it's Ryan Tannehill and that he gets a series or two. But it's probably going to be Malik Willis. That's what I think. I don't think Derrick Henry sniffs it. I don't think DeAndre Hopkins sniffs it. I think Treylon Burks should play a little bit. Like to see him play a quarter and then you could pull him out. The offensive line, like if they ended up playing the whole game, I wouldn't be mad. I know he's not going to do that, but, I think ultimately when he says some starters, like the offensive line is probably in that group. You know, Jeffrey Simmons, probably not. He doesn't need to. You know, there's some guys that they need to, and there's some guys that don't. We'll ask D-Mace about that when he comes in here in a few minutes. But right now, we will give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see All Elite Wrestling, Dynamite and Rampage at Bridgestone Arena on Wednesday, August 16th. But you must answer this question. Let's test your wrestling knowledge for you wrestling fans out there. Chris Jericho is going to be featured at AEW Dynamite and Rampage. Of course, he's been around for a long time. There is a famous promo that he cut all the way back in WCW where he had a list of all of the holds that he knows in retaliation to Dean Malenko. What was the hold that he kept repeating over and over again? If you can answer that to Nick Frazier at 615-737-1025, you will win a pair of tickets to see AEW Dynamite and Rampage. But you must answer the question. D-Mace will join the fray coming up next. Chase McCabe, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase McCabe, 1025, 1063, The Game. D-Mace. Derek Mason has joined the fray. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up next. I mean, Willie, is he ever going to be on the show again?
Nope. That's Willie. Willie's gone.
Willie gone. No, he's back tomorrow from his trip. Well-deserved trip.
Yes.
Preseason opens on Saturday for the Titans in Chicago, a noon kick. We got some preseason games tonight. There are teams around the league that are going to play starters. Mike Vrabel said earlier today, did a little scrum with the media, that some starters will play. He said he has decided who will start at quarterback, but he's not telling us yet. You and I were just discussing this during the break. Should Ryan Tannehill play at least a series or two? What do you think, Derek?
I mean, if he does play, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be upset. If he doesn't, I wouldn't be upset either. But if he does play, then I think, you know, D-Hop needs to be in a series with him. Just to sort of build that chemistry, game time chemistry. Honestly, I really don't believe he's going to play. The offensive line will, and they should. Now, if I was betting, I would, you know, bet that Malik would be the starter.
Me too.
At least for the first half, and then Levis would come in. Some of these veteran guys do need to play. Not necessarily because I think, you know, they got something to prove or they're borderline guys. No. Because, you know, this team, from an offensive standpoint, wasn't good last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they need all the time they can together to make this thing gel.
When you were established as the number one receiver, whether it was here or in Baltimore, how much did it help you, or did it help you, to play in the preseason?
We very seldom. I mean,
I don't remember you playing a whole lot.
Two series, maybe. A series. Like, the first game we would play – a series. That's it.
Yeah.
No matter if you went three and out, didn't matter. Get in, get out. Second game, it was maybe two series. Third game is when we really played it to the halftime.
The dress rehearsal.
Sometimes we played the series after half, but then fourth game, we didn't play at all.
Yeah.
There was no need to. But I enjoyed, you know, at least getting out there, you know, building up a sweat, you know, getting myself, you know, in game sort of mode. Out there, because that third game was a little bit tougher than the first two, because now defenses are game planning a little, not a lot, but a little. But I enjoy playing them because I knew, you know, ultimately we were not going to play a lot, but we're going to play just enough to kind of get a rhythm going.
Yeah, and, you know, there are guys that, like Derrick Henry, okay, he didn't need to play. That's fine, you know. No. But you mentioned the offensive line. I guess my one thing with Tannehill, even though – you know, you could say, well, I don't want him to play behind that offensive line. You know, don't want him to get hurt. But at the same time, isn't it important for him to build that rapport with that new O-line?
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I don't want to do it at the expense of his potential health either. So, you know, you just got to, you know, it's sort of a calculated risk in a sense, you know, because the offensive line isn't quite established yet. So do you want to throw your quarterback out there and because you know defenses are playing vanilla defense. So, you know, you get him a few rhythm throws, three-step drops just to get the ball out of his hands very quickly. No five-step drops. Excuse me. No five-step drops. Just something to get his feet to going, his vision as far as where guys are going to be. And then also, you know, giving him an opportunity to throw to some new pass catchers. But everything needs to be quick. If he's going to play, everything needs to be three-step or he's in the shotgun getting rid of it very quickly.
What have you seen from this receiver battle? Obviously, D-Hop, Treylon Burks, you know what they are. But I've been impressed with Kyle Phillips. I think Chris Moore is a nice addition as a veteran. But I think Racy McMath has something to still fight for. I think NWI still has something to fight for because Reggie Roberson's looked really good, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I am pleasantly surprised with this receiving core because obviously the receiving core in the offensive line was the question marks. You know, if they don't bolster the offensive line, then this team is going to end up being in the same position or even worse than last season. If they don't get some more pass catchers or if pass catchers don't step up, then we're going to continue to have to rely heavy on Derrick Henry. But the receiving core has been a pleasant surprise behind the top two or three guys. The top three guys to me is Treylon, DeAndre Hopkins, and Chris Moore. So behind those guys, I believe they play fairly well. They're fighting for, you know, maybe one or two positions. And, you know, guys have stepped up. I need to see Racy McMath step up a little bit more. This is his opportunity to show that he can not just be a special teams player. And there's nothing wrong with being a special teams player, but if you want to be a part of this offense, you got to show that you can make plays in the game. So he needs to step his game up, as well as the rest of the guys do. I think Kyle Phillips need to establish himself as the slot guy, a guy that can come in and help move the chain. So each guy on this roster right now has something from a receiver standpoint, have something to prove. And there's only, you know, they may keep six. So if you're talking, you know, if we say, well, who's making the team? DeAndre Hopkins, Treylon Burks, Kyle Phillips, Chris Moore. And by, after that, those four, it's a toss-up because they're only keeping two more. So you got four other guys fighting for two receiving spots.
And I think they keep at least four tight ends
uh-huh.
because one of those guys can kind of be the H-back, fullback role. I don't think they're keeping – or they don't have a fullback. They could carry – I think it's risky to carry three running backs, so I think four. Is probably what they end up doing. So, I mean, right there, that's 18 players.
Yeah.
You know, at three position groups. Do you want to carry an extra offensive lineman?
Well, you're going to have to.
Right.
you know, I mean. Maybe two.
You want to do that.
Extra offensive lineman.
And then if you're carrying three quarterbacks, which I'm convinced they're carrying three quarterbacks.
They can't. I can't see them not carrying three quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're carrying.
Especially if the, you know, the two behind the starters are, you know, making strides each and every practice and preseason game, you'd be crazy to let one of them go.
When we were talking about Tannehill and whether he should start or not, do you think that the joint practices can take the need away from him to play because he's going to get looks against other teams next week against Minnesota and the following week against New England?
Yeah, I could see Vrabel using those two scrimmages as games to him because those guys, I mean, you're practicing against someone else. You don't know what they're going to do from a defense standpoint, even though, you know, both coaches talk about, you know, both head coaches get together and talk about what they want to accomplish in practice today. But I'm not going to sit here and hand over my game plan to him and let him see what I'm doing. So there are things that you can set it up like a game time, I mean, game type situation. So I think Ryan, if he doesn't play Saturday, I believe he will get a lot of snaps against scrimmage against Minnesota and a lot of snaps against the scrimmage against New England.
Well, he just got picked off by Roger McCreary. So
It's good for Roger McCreary.
Yeah,
bad for him.
Everything I'm seeing right now is a little concerning because the offense apparently not looking good today.
Well, I mean, again, I'm not going to say it's not concerning, but on a level of 1 to 10, how concerned am I with the offense right now as we sit, it's about a 5-4 somewhere around there because I haven't seen them in a game. I haven't seen them practice against someone else. Now, if we still have some of these problems that they're having, throwing interceptions, guys dropping passes, the offense not looking in sync from a passing standpoint, if that happens against Chicago, if that happens against Minnesota and New England, then we got a problem.
Yeah. Malik Willis, nice touch pass on a deep completion to Chris Moore for a touchdown. Took the top off the defense. That was a bright spot that just happened. Is there in the 2 minute right now? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always like watching the 2 minute because I feel like you can really learn something about a quarterback, especially mm-hmm. in how they command that.
Yeah, you have to have command of what you're doing on a 2 minute basis. And you got to know the 2 minute offense. You have to, because everything is just rapid fire. And you got to make sure all the guys are where they're supposed to be. Because you might, essentially you might have to flip the formation, but not necessarily flip it. Just flip the tight end, which means, guys, y'all just stay in y'all places. The only person that's really moving is the tight end and the slot guy. So y'all got to be able to know what to do on both sides, regardless of if you're to the strong side or not. So the quarterbacks have to know everything that's going on during the 2 minute drill. And from what you said, Malik, threw a deep pass, touchdown pass to Chris Moore. Malik has done well during 2 minute yeah. drives this, camp thus far. So I just want to see it game type situations for him and Will Levis.
Yeah. So do I. So we will see if we get a little more insight before the game on who's going to play. I highly doubt it because that's how Vrabel likes to play things. Or Terrell Williams.
Well, y'all are asking the wrong person. Yes, Terrell Williams. Yeah. You need to ask
Coach
Head Coach Williams. You need to ask him what's the game plan. Not
yeah, and him. I think that's going to be cool yeah. that he's getting that opportunity.
Oh,
so
of course.
I really like that Vrabel is doing that. That's going to do it for me, but don't go anywhere. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up next. Unfortunately, they won't be at camp today, but they'll be breaking things down and see what news comes out of it after practice is over, as Malik Willis seems to be the best of the quarterbacks right now today. But they will break all that down coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.